truth. In fact, all the songs that are sung here, I pray, would be the truth, and I believe they are. And I'm grateful today that we know that God doesn't make any mistakes. I was thinking about my poem. Used to have the whole thing memorized, but just a little bit. It said, my father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. And truly, when tragedy strikes and things are happening, we sometimes wonder and maybe even question the Lord. I hope we don't question him in a way that where we're literally questioning him, but maybe question him just because we want an answer or want some kind of comfort or help from him as to why he does it. But it makes no difference. If he allows it, and it happens, then it's his will, and we have to trust him for it. Luke chapter number 12, I want to ask you the question this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Some would say, ready for what? Well, that's what I'm going to share with you this morning, and I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read the prior verse to our text in verse 40 in just a moment. But one day, this world as we know it, is going to end someday. I heard people talk about the end of the world, when it would come. But I know one day it's coming. When I stand at the cemetery by a graveside, I say, for that child of God, by the way, if they're saved and on the way to heaven, we know absent from the body is present with the Lord, but we know one day there's going to be a resurrection. Those bodies are going to come forth. Jesus is coming back for his people. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And then one day he's going to destroy the universe and make it all new. And we're going to live together, those who are saved, by the grace of God. And so the reason I'm saying this, our text really does deal with the fact of are you ready, but I believe verse 40 gives us the text that we're looking for today, and then the rest of our text will be verses 41 through 48. Just going to read verse 40. He said, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Let me read that again. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. And Lord, we know the reality of what the Word of God says. And Lord, we know one day you're coming again. There's many scoffers and doubters, but Lord, we know today that your Word will not return void. And Lord, you've given us the truth. And we know that what you said you'll do, all your promises will be fulfilled according to the Word of God. And Lord, we place our faith and trust in you today. And we do pray that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are here today. I pray that you'd guide and direct our attention that we might understand, Lord, the truths that are set before us. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. As we come to verses 41, and I'm not going to read them yet. I'm going to get to my point in just a second. But this passage that we're dealing with, the previous passage set us up asking, are we ready? And now Jesus turns his attention to the servants. He's talking to the servants and dealing with them about it. And by the way, he's telling them they need to be prepared when he comes back. This is a parable, by the way, and I'll read it. We'll get into it in just a minute. But this parable signifies the fact that one day Jesus is coming back. It tells us that when he does come back, we need to be ready, watching, and waiting, because it'll happen at a moment when we don't even know. And yet today, many needs to be watching for the fact that they need Jesus in their life for salvation. The only people going to heaven when the Lord comes back is those who have confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, called upon his name, repented of their sin, and asked him to come into their heart and save him. And so those that are lost need to be preparing for salvation like today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. But then the saved ought to be preparing for his return. How do we do that? By serving him faithfully. Well, to live with anticipation that he could come today. I was somewhere the other day, I don't remember where it was, but they was talking about it, and they was talking in the future, like the Lord might come back or when the Lord come back. And I said, it could be today. And of course, they agreed with me, and I believe with no doubt it could be today. Wouldn't it be wonderful today by the end of the service? And I pray today, if there's anybody here lost, that maybe we'd have the invitation and see them come forward and be saved by the grace of God. And the Lord, the trumpet would sound, and he would rise first. We look for something that is called the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The word imminent means something that could happen at any moment. I do not believe there's anything else that has to happen or needs to happen before the Lord comes back. I believe today that we're seeing the things that have been prophesied about Israel. I think today that we're seeing things that lead up to the fact that he could come. I'm not saying he's coming today, because the Bible said no man knoweth the day or the hour. And I'm just simply saying today, I don't know when he's coming. I don't try to predict when he's coming. But I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It could happen in a moment. It could happen quickly. And we'd all be caught up and taken out of here in just a moment. Jesus is coming, and he will send no warnings before he comes. In fact, our scripture that we're going to read just a minute talks about comes as a thief in the night. Thief gives no warning. Doesn't ring your doorbell and say, I'm fixing to rob you. He might. That's one way they try to get in. But he's not going to give you any warning when he comes. He's coming, and he's going to confront each and every one. In the text, Jesus now turns to the multitude of people that are following him, and he confronts his servants. And I believe we're living in a day where servants of God need to be confronted even more so than ever with the Word of God. I believe we've gotten to the point anymore we've become so lackadaisical. We've become to the point that we're so used to going to church, hearing the sermons. And preacher, I've heard you preach a bunch of times about Jesus coming. He ain't come yet. No, he hadn't, but he will. I promise you today, don't doubt me now, because I'm telling you, just because he hasn't doesn't mean that he won't. The Lord taught us the principle. I'm not going to take time to read all the scripture, but in Matthew 24, Mark 13, in Matthew 25, he talks about the principle of his return and us being ready when he does return. This teaching was recurring in the Lord's ministry everywhere he went. Now, Peter, being uncertain of the analogies in the previous point where he was speaking to those in the prior text, who it was addressed to, Peter, as often was the spokesman for everyone, Peter spoke up in verse number 41, and if you have your Bibles, look with me. Then Peter said unto the Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? In other words, Jesus, is this parable just for us? Or is it for everybody? And truly today, and we're going to see that in both circumstances, it's going to be for everybody, but it's going to be a difference, because the first one we're going to deal with is those who are saved and are faithful and know the Lord Jesus Christ. The first servant is faithful and represents believers, those who have trusted Christ. The other servant is unfaithful, and he represents unbelievers who are not ready for his return. And I'm going to tell you something, even if you're a believer, if you're saved, there's nothing going to keep you out of heaven, because God promised us eternal life. But I believe there's going to be a lot of tears shed when we first get there, because we stand before God, give an account of ourselves, and I'll speak more of that in just a few minutes. Since all people fall into two categories, either you're a child of God, or either you're lost without Christ. You say, explain that. I'll be glad to. I want you to know, as a 10-year-old boy, I came to the altar. My preacher took the Bible, knelt with me on the front pew on the left-hand side. He showed me from the Bible what it said I needed to do to be saved. And there that night in 1960, it was in April, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I confessed my sin. I prayed and asked him to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sin. And he told me, according to his word, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can tell you this morning, I'm saved. Thank the Lord today, just because of my sin. And by the way, we never get to the point where we don't have sin. The Bible said, him to know it to do good and do it and not to him it is sin. That's not promoting it, and it's not bragging on it. It's simply saying that he said, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ our Father. And so we find here that we're talking, the first servant is those of us who are representative of those who have been saved. And by the way, don't get the idea that you can't know that you're saved. Somebody said, well, I guess when I get to St. Peter's Gate, no, I don't believe it'll be that way. I think you need to know now whether you're saved or not, because if you don't know, you may not be saved, and you may find yourself turned away. The other servant we're going to talk about this morning is an unfaithful servant. He represents unbelievers who are not ready for his return. That's why I asked the question today, are you ready? Since all people fall in these two categories, that encompasses everybody. There's nobody in between. There's no places in between. There's heaven and there's hell. The saved are going to heaven. The lost are going to hell. You said, I don't like that. I don't like it either. And I wish everybody could go to heaven, and everybody can go to heaven, but it must be their choice. They have to make the decision on their own whether they're going to go or whether they're not. So my question to you this morning before we move any further is, are you ready? As a servant of God, could you say today, praise the Lord, if he came today, I could welcome him with open arms, with a happy smile on my face, rejoicing in the fact that I was going to heaven and going to be with him for all eternity? Or would you say, as a servant, I have failed the Lord, and there's some things I need to make right. And there's no better time than right now to make them right and get right with God. And I want to know that when we stand before the Lord, I've often said the greatest words that I've heard of one that goes to heaven was when Paul was talking about it, and he says, well done, when the Lord Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I tell you today, that's a great statement, but I don't believe it'll be said by all folks that are saved. But I tell you, I sure want to be one of them that the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take your Bibles now. Let's look at it. Beginning in verse number 42. The Bible said, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? He said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Now I want you to understand, if you go back, and don't go do that while I'm preaching, go this afternoon, but if you'll read the verses prior to this, you'll find in the previous verses, like verse 37, he said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you. What had happened, this man in the parable, we find as we're giving, he had left everything he had to his servants to take care of business. And yet he's saying he didn't tell them when he was coming back, but he was coming back. And the fact is, they need to be ready when he was coming back. The best illustration I know of that is when I was growing up, my daddy was very strict, and he expected a lot of things out of me. Too much for a little boy, but he expected it out of me. He gave me a certain deadline, and I knew generally about what time my dad was coming home. But there's sometime he'd slip in there a little early, and I wouldn't have done what needed to get done, and the consequences were great. But I'm grateful today that he made me to the point to where I understand no matter what I'm doing, I need to be watching for the Lord's return when he does come back. You see, a spiritual person or a saved person is one that manages the resources that God's given to them in a proper way, takes care of it. The word faithful means believing. It indicates he represents the redeemed of God. They believe the gospel. They're saved by grace. And they're looking for the return of Jesus Christ. I tell you today, nothing ought to thrill us more than the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Somebody said, well, I'm not ready to die. Oh, if you're saved, you're not going to die. Oh, you may die physically upon this earth one day, but your spirit will never die, and you'll spend eternity with Christ. And unfortunately, your spirit will never die even if you don't go to heaven, because you'll go to a place called hell where you'll be tormented for the rest of your life. You said, oh, that's just a bunch of fairy tales. Oh, friend, I tell you today, it's more than just a fairy tale. And people need to wake up and understand today the truth that is before it. The word faithful just means believing. The word wise used means thoughtful or prudent or discreet. In James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. True believers, friend, know that Jesus is coming. If you're genuinely born again, saved by the grace of God, I don't believe that anybody, and I hope you wouldn't argue with me, that Jesus wasn't coming, because he is, and I believe all believers know that. Now, if he's coming, then what we need to do is understand the urgency of the hour. Somebody said, oh man, and by the way, I could see the same thing. When I was young, I didn't think much about the Lord's coming back. But the older I got, you see, I got to figure another day, and there's a lot of people in the newspapers this past week that were dying that were in their 70s and 71 and 72. And this week I turned 73, and I appreciate all of you that remember me on my birthday. That was kind of you. But I turned 73, and I got to do a little addition. I'm not real good at math, but I figured even if I lived to be 80, I don't have a whole lot of time left. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. But it sure makes me more sensitive to the fact that it could come at any moment. I could die or the Lord could come back. And the fact would I be ready? Now, what had happened, the master had put his servants in charge of his household, and everything was there, and he had told them in the previous verses. He said, when I come back, I want to find everything, and I want you to be doing the will of what I've told you to do, and I do not want you to be unexpectedly seeing me when I come. Look at verse 43. He said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When he returns, Jesus is going to reward those who are serving him faithfully. He's going to reward him faithfully that are carrying out his will, just as the master was going to reward his servants. In the previous verses that we read some of, you can read it this afternoon, when they were doing well and doing what they were told to do, they were going to be rewarded accordingly. The faithful servants of God will meet the master soon. He's coming. When we do, we will give an account of our service, whether it be good or bad. In Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's enough to make me tremble. It's to know one day, can you get this in your head, that one day we're going to stand before the God who sent his Son to die on the cross for our sin and give us eternal life? I have been around important people, but I have never been around anybody as important as the Lord himself. And one day, as a child of God, I'm going to stand before him. You said, well, what do you think? Well, I know I'm saved. I know he's going to receive me. He said, he that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. But I tell you, I don't want to stand before him ashamed. The way I've lived and the sins I haven't confessed and the things I've not done. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, listen now, this is talking about saved people. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So now, wait a minute. It's wonderful that we're going to heaven. And us saints get excited about the fact of living with Jesus forever. But the truth of this verse is that there's going to be something called the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account. That kind of makes me shiver. Because I've not always been everything I needed to be. Not always done things I needed to do. And the God of this universe is going to, I'm going to stand before him and give an account of everything I've done, whether it be good or bad. You said, I thought he forgave us. He does. He scatters our sin as far as the east is the west, and he said never to remember against us no more. That's why it's so important. And I believe a great deal of this sin that he's talking about is going to be unconfessed sin. We live in a society today where people sin, and they really don't think about the fact they need to confess the sin and ask Jesus to forgive them of the sin, and surely they need to do it. Paul gives insight, I've got to move, into what this will look like for the people of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 through 15, listen at it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. But if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Somebody said one time, I'm just going to make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Now, you're not going to make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth, but you might make it to heaven just by escaping the fire of the works that you've done. The question I'm asking today is, are you ready? As a child of God, saved, on your way to heaven, are you ready for the Lord to come back and to stand before him? Jesus is coming. Consider your life in light of God's word. Are you faithful to the Lord? Can you honestly think within yourself that I'm as faithful as I can be? Am I doing all I need to do, all I can do? Do you seek to obey the Lord in everything? Or just the things that, you know, you want to, or you pick and choose? Are you actively waiting for his appearing? Do you know there's crowns that are going to be given when we get to heaven? There's five crowns. And there's one crown that's going to be given, a soul winner's crown, but there's going to be a crown for those who are watching and waiting for his return. What a blessing. They'll be rewarded. I wonder today, are you faithful? The second person I find is the faithless servant in verse 45 through 48. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. But he said, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of the servants will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware. Listen to this. Now this is the parable, but it's given, it's in relation to Jesus, I believe, coming, and will cut him in sunder. Now he says, if I come in an hour when he is not aware, and he's not prepared, I will cut him asunder and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to him men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The faithless servant is a faithless slave, and he's ignored the exhortation that he needs to be ready when the master comes. We find here, in fact, the first verse I read to you just a moment ago, they say, my Lord delayeth. Well, that's what everybody says today. Oh, he's not coming. Ah, this is just a bunch of hearsay. It's just a bunch of crazy old preachers preaching something that he ain't coming. He ain't come. If he does come, it's going to be a long time. So again, with that attitude, they continued to do what satisfied them. They had a lack of sense of urgency. Anybody that thinks the Lord is not coming, it's not going to motivate you to serve him. It's not going to motivate you to be faithful to him. It's not going to motivate you if you have the idea that he's not coming, he's not coming soon. He said if he leaves them behind, not all that, but he said they were brutalizing the other slaves, both men and women. They were continuing to eat, drink, and be merry, instead of properly managing the resources the master had left with them. They were wasting them away, having a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die, the old saying would be. They lived under a foolish delusion that there was plenty of time. We live in a world today when there's a delusion that there's plenty of time. It burns in my mind, and it comes to my mind every time I preach like this. I was in a car accident when I was a teenager. I was not living right. I was out of the will of God, doing things I should not have been doing. And I was in a wreck, and by the grace of God, he spared my life, for which I'm grateful. But they rolled me in the emergency room at Archibald, and any of you that's been around very long know that Archibald used to have an emergency room about as big as our foyer out there, to be honest with you. It might have been a little bit bigger, but it was not very large at all. And they had to put people in the hall on stretchers. And I remember them rolling me down the hall, and there was an old man that was trying to get everybody's attention, whether it be a nurse or whether it be me on a gurney going by. And he was screaming out, Jesus is coming soon! You better get right! And me in my rebellious state of mind, I said, oh, I didn't say it out loud to him, but I said, oh, foolish man, be quiet. You're just bothering everybody. But I tell you, since God bothered me one day and got a hold of my heart, that has stuck in my mind. And I thank God, I wish I knew who the old man was. And I'm sure he's already gone on to heaven. I hope one day, maybe I'll have the opportunity to meet him. But I'm glad he did not care what anybody thought. In fact, everybody there was treating him like he was some old fool. But he was more, in fact, those of us who were not listening were the bigger fool. He was somebody that knew what he was talking about, and he wanted to tell people how important it was. You see, they come to the place in their life, they live. They said, people tell me all the time, preacher, I'm going to tell you the truth, I really am. I'm going to get saved one day. Could I just tell you, And I'm not saying, I just think about it. I've just read in the paper a lot lately. A person that was in perfect health recently was in a car accident and lost their life, and our community was in shock because he was a good person. He was a wonderful person, and I'm sure that he knew the Lord. I talked with him on several occasions, and I'm grateful for that. But you know what? I doubt he knew that day when he left the house that he wouldn't be coming home. Doesn't matter who it is in life. I've lost a child that was killed in a car wreck. Most of you know that. One of the hardest things you'll ever go through, and I hope you never have to. But I can tell you this. I never thought, when I talked to my son that day, that was the last time that I talked to him. I'm so glad that he knew the Lord. Could not stand the thought if he didn't. But I'm simply telling you all that. Don't delay putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful. Don't assume that you're going to live forever down here, because you're not. We're all subject to death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that is judgment. Thinking it is both foolish and dangerous, because nobody knows when he's coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, 4 through 8, listen, for it is impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put to him an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. I know there's talking about, but he's talking about here, people that have tasted. I preached the other night on that, but if you're saved this morning, if you're hearing the message, and I'm sure there's a lot better messages and greater preachers, but if you've heard the message today, you've tasted a little bit of the Lord and what he is. You've heard that, and that's what he's talking. And here's what I'm saying. We become more responsible the more we hear, the more we understand the truth we know. The sort of thinking fails to realize. Somebody said, well, what's he talking about there? They can't bring them back. Well, it gets to a certain point where God, I believe, has the deadline. I believe God can bring us back where he wants us to at any time he desires to. But I believe we can keep putting him off, putting him away, failing to listen to him, and God can say, okay, that's it. That's the final call. And as a result, can you ever think about this? If you're saved, thank God for it. But if you've never been saved, if you thought about listening to a preacher and the invitation was given and you wanted to come, you wanted somebody to show you, but you just couldn't let go. You were worried about what somebody was going to think. You worried about what somebody was going to say. Just, you couldn't let go. So the service is over and you leave. You come back another time or two, and every time you feel the power of the Holy Spirit on you. You know you ought to, but you just won't let go, and you leave without being saved. You know what happens? God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I've given you opportunity after opportunity. You've heard the word. Somebody can show you how to be saved, but yet you've hardened your heart. Don't worry, I'm not going to be visiting you anymore. That's not God being mean. That's God being just, righteous, and holy. Because today, he said, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There are several passages which reveal this truth. Let me just read them to you quickly. In John chapter 12, verse 37 through 40. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Again, you'd have to go back, maybe read that again, let it sink in. But what he's saying basically is they heard, and they did not believe. And the reason they didn't believe is because at a certain point he hardened their hearts, and no longer were they convicted. We find some verses, and I'm not going to read all of Romans chapter 8, but the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, said the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Again, I'm just going to stop there, but down at the bottom of that, the Bible says God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. There comes a time, if you continue to reject God and you continue to refuse to accept God, he said, okay, that's it. I'm writing you off, and I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. You go ahead and do what you want to do. But when the time comes, you'll spend eternity separated from God. The unfaithful slave miscalculated the time of his master's return. He was caught unprepared, and when his master came that day, he didn't expect him. He didn't expect him at the hour. And in the act of severe punishment, according to the scripture we just read, his master cut him in pieces and assigned him a place with the unbelievers. The unbelievers, as an illustration, becomes a reality. The place where the unprepared will spend eternity in hell. Friend, please understand, hell is real. There's more said about hell than there is heaven. It said it's a place in Matthew 24:51, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And listen to this, it will never end. You'll be tormented the rest of your life. While all unbelievers will be sentenced to hell, our Lord clarifies, I believe, the degree of their punishment will differ. People have asked me this question. Said, do you believe there will be different degrees of punishment in hell? I'll just tell you this. Hell's going to be bad enough no matter how much punishment you have. It's not a good place to go. But I believe this. Notice, if you would, in verse 46. Verse number 46. He said, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So he was unprepared. He was not looking for him. And so when he come, he cut him asunder. Now the second slave was not wickedly defiant, but only distracted. Look at verse 47. And that servant, now here's another servant. He's different. This one was cut asunder. But the second servant, then that servant which knew his Lord's will, now he knew the Lord's will. He's not saying he was doing the Lord's will. He knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So here's one fellow going to be cut in pieces. Here's another going to be beaten with certain stripes. I don't understand it all. I don't believe we have an explanation at all. But I believe this. I believe people that have sat in church all their life and heard the truth, even as you're hearing it this morning, I believe it's going to be far greater punishment upon you than it will some person in a faraway country that never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. I want to say today, though, thank the Lord, missionaries are all over the world, and by way of internet, many of them are hearing the gospel. But yet, there seems to be a difference. And so, I would agree that in hell there will be some difference of punishment. But I can tell you this, hell's not going to be good for anybody. And you surely don't need to bank on that. Unlike the defiant slave, he received a severe punishment. He was cut in pieces. A third slave that we just talked about did not do his master's will. And Jesus is concluding to provide evidence of differing things there. He said in verse 50, look with me. Well, excuse me. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. So we're going to be held accountable, different degrees. The exhortation, he said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard him in a time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. In Luke 13, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those who refuse to repent and face God's eternal wrath, even though it believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him forever. I'm going to tell you, I've spent just about my entire life preaching this book. And I can tell you what I'm telling you this morning is just as sure as I'm standing here in front of you, these things are going to come to pass, and you better be ready when Jesus comes. I want to read these verses if I could, Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. He said, for if we sin, well, I've already read that. It moved out of, I got out of sorts here somehow. But today, all this boils down to a simple truth. Either you know or you don't know. Either you're ready or you're not ready. But good news is you can be ready. If you'll make exceptions today and lay aside pride and don't worry about what somebody's going to think, that's what we're in the business for, is to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and know that one day you're going to stand before Him. One day the trumpets shall sound. The Lord's coming back. Those who are saved are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I didn't mention it, but there's another throne. It's called the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne is where lost people will stand. The judge seat of Christ is where Christians will stand. And yet at that Great White Throne judgment, there's only going to be, I don't know, I can't say what words exactly, but I know some words is going to be said. Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into an everlasting fire. It would break my heart today to know that anybody in this building would walk out of here without accepting Christ as your Savior. You said, well, how long does it take? Oh, just long enough for you to pray a little prayer and believe. Let somebody take the Bible and show you what the Bible says about it. Doesn't take long at all. He'll save you in a moment. You say, that's too easy. Oh, isn't it wonderful? He made it so easy that anybody could do it. He said, except you become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The older you get, the harder it'll be. But I'm just telling you today, Jesus is coming again. I don't know when, but I believe it could be soon. Are you ready?